1. Time out.
Ja, hoe heette de club in Brussel nu weer waar Philippe Catherine en Toots Thielemans elkaar voor het eerst ontmoeten? De Blue Note, de Blue Note Club?
The club was called the Blue Note of Brussels, not of other countries. And he was playing there in quartet. I remember it was with Freddy Rottier on drums. And I was very impressed, of course, to hear this guitar player, because I didn't even know he was playing harmonica.
Uh-huh.
I came to see the guitar player.
Yeah.
And he knew many things on guitar, but I don't even know if I spoke to him. I'm not sure.
At that time, it was probably the Brussels Toots Thielemans, but he came from the USA. At that time, he was already living in the USA, yeah?
Yeah, of course. That's the first time I saw him. And maybe the first time I heard about him, uh-huh. because I didn't really know. Uh-huh.
And you were a young guitar player, so you probably talked to other musicians, the other people. Was there a lot of buzz about it? Was people talking about?
No, but I was very impressed by his playing, you know. I was very impressed. And at the time when I was listening to Wes Montgomery, I was listening to Kenny Burrell, Bernie Kessel, and still Django, of course. And I did not know Toots Thielemans, you know. So it was a nice surprise, and it was nice. My regret is that I did not speak to him, I think. I did not ask him if I could have a lesson with him, because I could have learned a lot. But something I regret. I didn't think of that.
not at that time, because you probably hooked up and met after that.
I met him really long time afterwards, but I don't really know when. Mm-hmm. But I have no dates in my head, maybe in 66 or something like that. And when we saw each other in a club where I was playing, now I know what you're referring to, that was in 69, but I knew Toots at that time. I knew. He came with Sacha Distel to a club where I was playing with Marc Moulin on piano. In the G Club, it was called, close to the Grand Place of Brussels. And so Toots came and see me by curiosity and sat in with us. So we played. I was playing with Freddy Rottier at that time, and Freddy de Ronde and Marc Moulin. And Sacha Distel was there. And that's when Sacha Distel, but we're not talking about Toots now, that's when Sacha Distel proposed to produce a record of mine.
Okay.
That was in 69, which I did, and which is coming out again this year, because it's been completely forgotten. But that concerns me and not Toots.
Okay.
The album is called Stream. Okay.
Yeah. But you regret that? That's what you said. Like,
how I went in 61, yeah, because I never had a teacher, really. Yeah. Well, it's not that I'm a complete autodidact. I had two or three teachers which helped me a lot in music. But not much more. You know, I had Joe Van Wetter, who was a studio guitar player and a very nice musician. But he gave me some lessons, and he was so humble, this guy, that after four lessons, he said, "I don't know what to teach you anymore." I really regret I didn't ask Toots at that time. It's silly, but it's like that.
Okay.
Voilà.
Yeah.
Voilà.
Out Club dus in de Galerie des Princes, de Prinsengalerij in Brussel Centrum. Daar was hun eerste ontmoeting, Toots Tielemans en Philippe Catherine. En Catherine bijzonder onder de indruk van Toots en van zijn gitaarspel ook. En bij zijn grote invloeden, Django Reinhardt, Wes Montgomery, kon hij toen dus een Belg bijzetten, Toots Tielemans. En met de jaren leerden ze elkaar beter kennen en werden ze vrienden, toch? Die relatie zat toch goed, Philippe Catherine?
How did you relate to each other?
Very well. I mean, very well. And he was, how can I say? He was very, as far as his attitude to me, when my records September Man and Guitars came out in 74 and 75, he was listening to these records. He told me like all the time, not all the time, but I mean quite a lot. And for me, I was in a different world. I was in the world of that kind of music, and Toots was in the mainstream. So I was surprised that he liked it anyway. Yeah, and he was asking me, how do you do this? And he was very curious, you know.
He was always curious to find out
wonderful.
What young musicians were doing.
Eh? Yeah, fantastic. And to learn.
And to learn all the time from young musicians and probably to have them in the studio or on the stage.
That's possible too. I cannot confirm that, but he was very curious. And like the tune Homecomings, which is on this record, Guitars, he told me that it was so emotional for him. It said it's like a canif dans mon cœur, like what is a canif?
Like a knife.
In my heart, it was quite emotional with that, and he liked very much the tune Nairam also, and yeah.
Thank you.
Cummings. Uit een van de eerste LP's van het Brusselse gitaarfenomeen Philippe Catherine. In de jaren 70 was Toets bijzonder te spreken over deze muziek, over Homecomings en over Nairam. Vroege composities van de nog jonge Philippe Catherine dus. Nochtans, als muzikanten zaten ze in een andere wereld. Toets in die van de mainstream jazz. En Philippe Catherine, 20 jaar jonger, zat volop in de wereld van de fusion, van de rock jazz, de jazz funk. Eigenlijk had hij veel meer met soul en met funk dan met rock of pop. Philippe Catherine. Zaten ze elkaar toen in de jaren 70 niet in de weg? Twee gitaristen. Toets was trouwens toen nog volop de guitar whistler, de git whistler, om het met Quincy Jones van vorige week te zeggen. Hoe speelden ze samen live?
Usually it was harmonica and guitar. And most of the time he was playing harmonica. And he liked to play in duo, you know. But it was extraordinary the way he was playing, you know. And we're not speaking about his guitar playing, but his guitar player was so good, you know, especially before. There's a beautiful video with him on YouTube with Elis Regina,
the singer from Brazil.
Yeah, a beautiful, wonderful singer, and where he plays, where you can hear him on guitar, really at some of his best. It's incredible how he plays, how he swings, he plays wonderful guitar. And and he knew a lot about harmony on the guitar. You know, he was telling me that the guitar was like his... for an engineer, they have a calculation machine, you know, how to call in regla calculer. And for me, in music, it's the guitar, my mm-hmm. whatever it's called.
It's
and it
standard.
Would help him for harmonica. Yeah. But his basic thing on harmony, he would do it on the guitar. So he was very serious with some basic rules of harmony, which he knew. And that's what I regret that he didn't show me in 1961 or 62. You know, that's it was leading. I mean, people who study harmony will know what I mean by voice leading. You know, you can't just play a chord here on the second fret and the next one on the 12th fret, because the notes don't follow each other closely. I can't explain this carefully, but he was a master of. He could understand the basic movements of music very, very strong.
Is ze maar mogen worden, Elis Regina, een van de grote upcoming sterren in Brazilië. En Toets Tielemans ging er een plaat mee opnemen, een album waarmee hij zichzelf ook op de kaart zette in dat grote muzikale land in Brazilië. Elis Regina en Toets Tienemans. Ja, en ook tussen Philippe Catherine en Toets zat er een groot leeftijdsverschil.
You were 20 years younger than he is.
Yeah, but
I have the impression that in jazz and in the kind of music that you play, in popular music, it doesn't make that much difference. Eh? I mean, it's about sounds, or
yeah. Well, I don't know. I hope I'll be playing better in 20 years. So I hope it makes difference. But
are you still? Do you still learn a lot? Do you still practice?
Doing my best for that because I really have to improve. So many, there's really so many weaknesses in my playing that I want to. I follow. I read books also on guitar, you know, methods and what all kinds of things I can put my hand on, you know, and it's important for me. But Toots was somebody who was studying all the time. He was always with his harmonica at home, always trying to find new lines, how to go from one motif to another. He's really hard-working man on a very specific goal, like playing single notes, like improvising melodies on standards or on his own tunes, because his own tunes are great also. His tunes are very, like he was, you know, very tune short, not too short, but short, no long things, you know, like very...
Very basic, maybe.
Very basic and very... Everything is logical and there's no weakness in the tune. It's really...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He could have made watches, maybe, you know. I don't know.
He would have been maybe like a Mats.
Yeah, but he liked Mats when he was young.
When he was young, that was what his... goal was going to be at university, to be a mathematician.
Yeah. He has that side also. He's got both, which is great. He's got the intellectual side and the emotional side combined really in one thing, which is like...
That makes him maybe unique. In his own compositions, what is the composition you like most?
Oh, I mean, Bluesette is the most well-known, but it's a fantastic composition. I mean, it's perfect. I like also very much the one called For My Lady. I liked also very much, Waltz for Sonny and...
Thank you.
Waltz for Sonny, samen met Bluesette en met For My Lady, de absolute favorieten uit het Toet Stielemans repertoire voor Philippe Catherine. Philippe Catherine, geboren in Londen en opgegroeid en muzikaal groot geworden in Brussel, groeide op met de pop- en rockmuziek in zijn jonge jaren in de 60s, de muziek van de Beatles, van Jimi Hendrix en de zwarte funk van onder meer James Brown. Muzieksoorten waar in de jazzmuziek, en dat is onterecht voor Philippe Catherine, toch nogal op neergekeken werd, vooral in die tijd.
Many jazz musicians in the 60s, when Beatles was there, there was Jimi Hendrix, there was all these beautiful musicians. And the jazz musicians who were playing bebop and all that, they were considering all this music a little bit like not music, you know. And I felt that so sad. No. But Toots wasn't like that. No.
That's something you have completely in common with Toots, because Toots did not make any distinctions, I think, between black or white or European or American. I mean, he mixed everything up, didn't he?
Yeah, but he played a lot with black musicians, of course. He played beautiful. He was very, like Quincy Jones loved him, but he was, I like the story, he says that he was in a bus in America with a band of, I don't know, man, Count Basie with Billie Holiday maybe, and anyway, all these great black images, and he says, and I'm the only one for Moller Bake. Yeah, he used to say that, I heard him say that once. Yeah, he was very open to all the things. But it's true that most of the jazz, really purest jazz that I met in the 70s, I'm not talking about Herbie Hancock and Mize, which were always progressive, but sure. Some of us were like, Hendrix is no good, this is, you know, like, I didn't like that attitude, personally.
You did this beautiful album together in the 1970s, which was called Philippe Catherine and Friends.
Yeah.
It has different issues and different covers, I think.
Yeah, that's the original.
This is probably the original one.
Absolutely.
Released in 1974. Toots Stielemans and Friends, Philippe Catherine.
Yeah.
Stielemans, Philippe Catherine and Friends, being Joachim Kühn,
who's
still alive, still there. Jerry Brown, John Lee, and Chris.
Chris Hinson was the producer and the flute player who plays on it. But John Lee and Jerry Brown are the bass player and the drummer. I played a lot in the 70s. And that was the beginning of our work together. And I think it was even before September Man, if I'm not mistaken. So in September Man and guitars, it's John Lee and Jerry Brown.
Blues for Lula Bell. 1, 2, 3. We'll be right back.
ritme tandem van bij James Brown en bij Stevie Wonder, Jerry Brown en John Lee en Philip Catherine en Toots Tielemans en Friends, een LP uit de jaren 70. Een heel bluesy Toots en Philip Catherine. We hoorden BB Creole en we praten nog even verder over Toots met Catherine.
Radio 1. Time out.
People like Toots who travel that much, it's hard to imagine that he stayed that same Brusselaer,
yeah.
That same person that he probably was as a young kid. Was there some kind of, that's what I'm trying to find out, was there some kind of image in there? Did you as a colleague musician have the idea that was the some kind of game he played, but actually he was very self-confident? And
well, you're talking about an image. He was an European and he was a Brusselaer and he was all that, but he was an American also. Some people only saw one aspect of it, but he was an American also. And he told me that one day. He said, yeah, but people forget I'm an American. Yeah. He was both, which makes it very rich personality. You know, he was this very humble and very open and all that. But he was also an American. You know, he was... he had both cultures in him, which I think made him even richer, you know, and he had a great experience with great artists from all over the world, like you say, like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he was playing a game, you know, it was sincerely, he mm-hmm. kept this image of a Belgian, but mm-hmm. he was also an American.
Mm-hmm. There's one particular composition of yours that he was crazy about, Song for Victor.
Ah, yeah.
He would play that over and over and over again. Eh?
Yeah.
That must be nice to, I mean, to...
Well, I'm very honored by that, you know. Not only honored, it's a pleasure for me to know that somebody like Toots Tielemans like this tune, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And dedicated to, by the way, to English piano player called Victor Feldman. And I wrote the tune while he was alive, Victor Feldman. But when the record Transparence came out, the record in which Dance for Victor is, he died. And Toots told me, you know, never write a tune for me while I'm alive.
That would be bad luck.
Yeah. Well,
okay, but he reached that beautiful age of 94, eh?
Yeah.
And he played until the ripe age of 90. And then all of a sudden, people realized that, okay, this is it. It doesn't work anymore.
No, he realized.
Or he realized. Yeah, that. Sure.
Yeah.
But that must be very difficult. And for a musician, that must be extremely difficult.
You know, I'm not
do
quite...
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
do
I remember very well that. Very, very well. But I don't know if it's because he didn't want to perform anymore. I think he didn't want to travel anymore. Let's be careful about that. It's because he still could play very well. But I think he was tired of his airports, trains and all that. It was too much effort. He was tired.
Sure.
But not weak musically, but he was getting tired. And but what I can say, but this is my opinion, that it was very courageous to do that. To let go of something. You know, you need to be... Yeah, I think it's very mature of him to have done that. Because I know it must have caused a lot of anxiety around him, for his wife, to other people, that he would stop, you know, because Toots is the guy who travels and makes concerts all over the world, and now suddenly decides to stop that. What's going to happen, you know? So it was very courageous.
Did you stay in touch?
Yeah, we phoned all the time. I mean, I cannot say every week, but at least every month for all these 4 years, and even before that, I had him on the phone many, 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 many times.
Did he still play his harmonica?
Yeah, he would play on the phone, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Call for your birthday and...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And he still had his sense of humor. We loved to... When I had a new joke, I would love to tell him that, you know, and he reminded me some of old jokes he knew. And but I really think that was very courageous.
Did you visit him when he was at the hospital?
But that was, you're talking about the very last days of him. Yeah. I visited him at the hospital about 10 days before he passed away. And
do you remember saying goodbye?
No, we didn't say goodbye, no. I would have thought that, no, I could never say that to him. I'm not going to tell him, you know, and we're not going to see each other anymore. No, not at all. We talked about jokes again, you know, and he had his full brain, because he had been very sick 2-3 days before. People thought that he was going to die 2-3 days before, but suddenly he felt better. And that's when I saw him. And he was very nice. He had a lot of gratitude for the visits, you know. He always had a lot of gratitude on the phone also. It was so nice that you phoned me and this and that. And, he was with his destiny, you know. And it was, very, I don't know, man. It was very, I don't know very what. I can't find words. Mm. Yeah.
Let's listen to his music. Thank you so much, Philip Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Victor, heel vaak hebben ze dit samen gedanst. Philip Catherine en Toots Tielemans. Meer over Toots vind je op onze website radio1.be. Zometeen krijg je het nieuws van 11 en dan de nacht van Radio 1. Goeienacht.